Hi, everybody. Welcome to a very special bitch sesh. And I say that because of our guest, because I'm so excited and I know everybody loves him as well. And I'll get to him in a second. Casey cannot be with us today. RIP Casey. She is working women, ladies and gents. Women are doing it for themselves, aren't we? We're working hard, trying to get shit done. Speaking of working women, I just wanted to talk a little bit about our dear beloved Bethany Frankel and also the terrible, terrifying, scary, upsetting war that has been waged on Ukraine. And I know everybody I know, and I know this audience is a very sensitive and very giving and very aware audience, and what's going on in Ukraine is terrifying. And our dear Bethany Frankel, our queen, our be strong, our Bethany bitch, of course, is coming to the rescue because she fucking gets shit done. God bless her. I know we miss her on The Housewives, but she is doing better things. And I know I'm constantly, when something like this is happening, like, God, how can I help? What can I do? I feel so helpless. And a lot of times, you know, money is the answer. If you have some, give some, even just a little bit helps. You know, you can go to bethany.com/be strong. She's doing so much for actually in the Ukraine and for people in Poland coming out, refugees of this terrible crisis. So if you have something, give something. I know we're all looking for just something, anything to do to feel helpful at this time. So I suggest Bethany, you know, why not give to the woman who has given us so much, and she will give to other people. And we know that she's legit. It's going to get in the hands of the people that needs it. Is that a sentence? The people that needs it? It doesn't matter. Look, I'm just trying to help, guys. I don't know. So if you have money, if you have time, if you have anything, any little bit helps. And I know these listeners here, Bitch Sesh listeners, are the most helpful in the world. We've called upon you guys to do so much in the past. And you always give your time or your money or your thoughts or your good vibes, anything. So thank you. And you know, let's thank our gorgeous Bethany for always being a beautiful, wonderful, sometimes bitchy human being. God bless her. Now, that being said, I want to bring out our guest because he's not only going to be a guest, he's a co-host. I mean, he's a host in his own right. He has a new book coming out, what I just read, and it's so fucking good. How do I unremember this? Unfortunately, true stories, Danny Pellegrino.
Hello, Danielle. I'm so happy to see you. And I do want to just reiterate, yeah, I think sometimes when we think about donating, if you sometimes think, if I can't give a ton of money, what's the point? But it sounds so cheesy, but really, if you have a dollar, just donate a dollar. Like, it's a good thing.
Yes. It's even like the cost of a Starbucks coffee, like and it's also stretching a long way there. Like, so anything, you know, even the smallest amount, it's going a long fucking way. Like, it really does. Any amount helps. Right. So thank you, Danny.
And she steps up for these crises. Like, every time there's one of these things, it's like all of a sudden she just is so quick with it.
I know, but she's also still like getting her podcast out. You know what I mean? Like, I'm so impressed.
I just saw an interview. I don't know if it was Access Hollywood or something, but yeah, she's like talking about all the work she's doing and. They're like, how do you keep up with it all? She's like, well, I also do my podcast. And she's like, still plugging the podcast.
I'm like, I wake up with a headache and I'm like, I obviously can't get to my podcast today. she's like healing the world's, you know, what ails the world. And she's also like still making time for her, as we know from Che Diaz, her very important podcast.
Right, right. Her little at-home comedy concert, if you will.
Yes. So I'm just impressed by Bethany. And I want to get to you. I mean, first of all, you have your own very popular podcast, Everything Iconic, with Danny Pellegrino. You're doing the work every day. And now you have this fucking amazing book. Now, it comes out in a week. Pre-order this shit, okay?
Yeah, pre-order has helped. Just go order it. It's out March 8th. So by the time you listen to this, it might even be out.
Exactly. Well, this will come out tomorrow, but not quite
yet.
It'll
be close.
But you know, people that are listening later, which I don't know why you wouldn't cue it up the minute it comes out. But guys, I read this book and we'll get into it a little bit more, but I have to tell you, it's so funny. It made me laugh. It made me cry. Just even one of the first sentences, and I just want to read it for everybody. And again, we'll get a little more into it. But I think you'll all love this because you know, if you listen to Danny, if you listen to us, you're garbage people that love pop culture, you know? You love pop culture, but you also have a heart of gold and you are a sensitive, gorgeous being. And that is what Danny is. And if you like thank him, you. I feel like I even know you better through this book, you. Danny. Like I felt like I knew you, but now I felt like I really know you. But this sentence, I was like, you have my heart forever, Danny.
Okay. And okay. I'll tell you this. I'm nervous to know what it is. No, but you know, I think you're the most brilliant person ever. So the fact that you're saying this just, it gives me chills. And Casey was kind enough to write a blurb for
she
it too.
She did, like, and she loves the book. I mean, like, we're obsessed with you. Why wouldn't we? Okay. Her. Okay. This, and this is one of the first pages, but the minute you said this, I was like, oh, I love this person. They have my heart forever. Okay. I've always been a mix of silliness and drama, with pop culture holding me together, and that love of entertainment runs deep. I've never had a second glass of wine that didn't end with me on Allison Janney's IMDb page.
That's true. You know, my evenings are spent with a glass of wine and a Wikipedia page.
I mean, Danny, like then you had my heart forever. I was like, that is me. And that is the people I love get that. You know what I mean?
Thank you so much. Well, I want people to just read it and have a good time and check out for a couple hours when they read it, because there's so much going on. We need the laughs where we can get them. But I gotta say, you mentioned that people that listen to our shows are garbage people with heart of gold. And I have this story. I think I texted you that I have a story for you, because I've been saving it for Bitch Sesh.
So
because it's Bitch Sesh adjacent. So ooh. I recently moved, and you know, moving is like so stressful. Yes. I was going through like a very hectic time. My brain, I decided to lean back into my Headspace app, which is like that guided meditation.
I know
app.
You don't have to tell me what it is. You don't think I'm on that at like 3 a.m.
Right. They do like 5-minute, 10-minute guided meditations. Yes. Uh-huh. So I was like, I really need to lean back into that. So this one morning, a crisp LA morning, it was kind of chilly. I go to this new hiking trail that I just discovered. I get to the top of an LA mountaintop. I plug in my headphones and I start listening to my guided meditation. And as I'm coming out of my guided meditation, I see in front of me, maybe like 10-ish feet in front of me, I see this stream and a bare ass. And sorry if this is a little dirty.
No, I'm excited. I'm like, it's not dirty. I'm just like a bare ass. Yes. I'm not going to lie. I thought you said a bear's ass.
No, it was a bare ass, a lady's bare ass.
Okay.
And I'm kind of trying to come to, like, what am I seeing? You know, I'm sort of staring, but not because I'm trying to stare, just because I'm like coming out of a guided meditation. And this woman turns around and she shouts at me. She's like, stop looking, asshole. Like, she yells at me, like right away, confrontational.
And also, you're in public. What are you talking about? You're naked in public. That's on you, bitch.
Right. Like, you're literally urinating at the top of a hilltop.
Yeah.
In mid-morning, too. It was really early morning. And so I said to her, Miss, I'm meditating. Miss, I was just meditating. Like, I'm not looking at you. I'm not trying to be a pervert or anything. I'm just coming to see what is. So she said, then she says to me, don't call me Miss. She shouts at me. So she's like so confrontational with me. So I don't know what came over me, but I channeled my Teresa Giudice from The Real Housewives of New Jersey in season 2. And I said, is bitch better? Which I don't even speak like that, Danielle.
Yes,
like, I'm not a confrontational.
That's not you. You're very sweet and kind.
And as it's coming out of my mouth, I'm thinking, oh no, like she was already so upset. I probably upset her more. She's going to run up to me. Meanwhile, the pants are still at the ankles. Like, she's still bare-assed.
Yeah, and it's like, put your pants on.
So immediately, almost, her face kind of turns and she just smiles and she yells, prostitution whore. And, you know, that's when we meet our friends in the wild. We meet the Housewives people in the wild. And then I'm shouting back to her. I smile and I'm like, I love New Jersey. And she goes, I swear to God, she goes, I was just listening to Bitch Sesh. And I was like, I love them.
Oh, my God. Look, you know, that's what I'm saying. I'm like, garbage TV can melt the hardest hearts, can solve all the world's problems, can take wars and turn them into love. I mean, you guys, wow.
We connected in a moment on you, on Housewives. We share this language. And I think there is such a tense atmosphere in the air right now. And we're all feeling that and we're all reacting. But sometimes we can take our guard down by just quoting our ladies.
It really is a meeting point. Danny, this is a beautiful story.
So she was listening. So she's out there. I didn't get her name. She, you know, she hiked up her drawers and went on her merry way. But
well, let's just say thank you for turning it around to this bare-bottomed woman. And like, maybe, you know, let's not lead with anger. Let's lead with housewives. And I think that that's like our common language. Like, this is peace in the Middle East shit. You know, like if we can just meet on the housewives, the world would be a great place.
Meet on the mountaintop and shout prostitution whore at each other, and Danny, we'll all be healed.
I think this is a real. This is huge. And I mean this. This is a big thing.
I agree.
Because this is a way for us all to connect. And the vaccine isn't mandatory and neither is housewives, but I think that both are
maybe
important.
They all should be,
but maybe they all should be, and they're both really important, right? So let's get them both.
And these things infiltrate our heads, right? So it's like all these quotes, sometimes a quote comes out of me from the housewives that I'm like, where did that even come from? And then I'll remember the scene, you know, a week later or something. But they infiltrate our brains. And I think we can either run from that or we can lean into it and come together on it.
The leaning in is, wow, that's a beautiful story to start this morning.
Thank you. Thank you.
And you're such a fan of housewives and pop culture, and they come together so beautifully in your book. How do you feel about, like, it's such a huge deal to put It's putting your heart out into the world. And how are you coping with that? I mean, many housewives have done it before. I don't know that they've actually touched the page themselves.
Or a pen. Or
even read it. I would bet money that Teresa Giudice has not fully read one of her books. I would bet.
Right. And I come from the world of ghostwriting before this. So like there's people who are writing for a lot of these people, but I do feel really vulnerable. Like it's out in a few days and a lot of people have started to read it and stuff. And I'm excited, but also I just feel like I want people to like it. I worked so hard on it and I'm so proud of it, but I'm just like, oh, I hope people like it. And I want them to. And especially now, as we keep saying, everything's so heavy and stuff. And I want people to have a little escape with it. And I hope
it's such a fun escape. Your family vacations are a laugh. Like, and I,
thank you
can tell your love for kind of like complicated women of a certain age started very young, because we all love our housewives. And when you go to your friend's slumber party and I don't want to give away too much, but your main thing is like hanging out with the like hungover mom
who's
just trying to get shit done, like while everybody else, like all the other boys are like downstairs like playing video games. You're like, again, I'm going to quote this because it's
when I was going to sleepover, I just wanted to hang out with the mom of the house. So it was like the whole thing was just a lead up to breakfast with the mom of the house. Like that was my favorite part of the whole experience.
But that's where you can tell your love of these. You know what I mean? You've had this relationship with, you know, kind of complicated, put upon women who live out loud. This is my favorite quote. Okay. Deb would pour me a glass of OJ and tell me about Rick, her husband, working late and not caring about her thriving herb garden. Well, I would wonder how anyone could not be enamored by this amazing woman. I love that you're just sitting with Deb. You're like an 11-year-old boy. Sitting with Deb, just shooting the shit. And you know, Deb appreciated it more than anything.
And I grew up in Ohio, where oftentimes, especially of that era, you just sort of sweep things under the rug. And so I think a lot of the complicated women of that era were trying to look for an outlet to get all their thoughts out. So whether that be their son's friend, an 11-year-old boy who was at the sleepover, the slumber party, so be it. I was ready to listen, Danielle. And I'm always ready to listen to a lady.
I hope to God that my daughter has a friend like you that just will like come home, come down early from the sleepover and just be like, Danielle, what's kicking?
What's going on? Tell me about the husband. Let's talk about the husband.
And I'll listen when no one else will. Like, and then who's just like, Deb, you got this, girl. You know what I mean? Like,
that's what I want. Words of encouragement to get on with your day. Yeah, we all need that. All the Debs in the world need that.
Yes. And that is so inspirational. And also like, and you also do some tributes to the housewives in your book. So there's something for everybody. I also think that there's just this really darkly funny and touching chapter about, you know, your your bouts with depression, which I have had myself, and really dark times, but how you ended up with your boyfriend at Disneyland during like the darkest of times. Like, that is such a bitter, funny, dark tale. And you're so honest in it.
Thank you. I try not to shy away from the heavier stuff too. So although I want people to really laugh, I think there's a couple chapters in there where they're a little bit heavier. I try not to ignore that stuff because we all go through it. And I think it's important for us all to talk about it. And I tried to live by the idea of like, if it scared me a little bit to write it, I tried to write it.
But I think your audience will go with you on that. You know what I mean? Because I think that you do that in your podcast too. I mean, it's obviously light and funny, but you do talk about your life and your world and who you are. And I think it's so interesting. It's all the many shades of you, Danny Pellegrino. And I want
all of
them.
You're making me feel so good, Danielle.
Why don't we
do this every day?
I truly loved it. And I'm like such a reader. Excited. Like, I'm a huge reader. Like, I even that's my relaxation. Like, besides The Housewives, like, I love to read. And I love to read, short stories and stuff by really funny, smart people. And guys, I know like we are all busy and stuff like that, but this is such a breath of fresh. It's such a fun thing. You can read it all in like basically one sitting like I did, or you can just like do little spurts of a funny story here and there. But I'm so proud of you.
Thank you, Danielle. I'm so proud of you. It's so good.
And
Casey have both been so supportive. And of course, I, like I said, I think you're both the most brilliant people. And Casey was kind enough to do a blurb and also just really mentor me a lot through the process because she had just written her book. And so she was just, she's the best.
It's going to go on my library shelf right next to Casey's book. And it also Andy Cohen does a blurb.
He did. It was so sweet.
I mean, look, we got, and your mom has become like I love your mother and your father.
Thank you.
Shared that beautiful thing from your father the other day on Insta, what he said reading your book, and I started crying. I'm not even joking.
It made me cry too. He texted me that on his birthday, and he, ultimately we all just kind of, I think deep down, want our parents to be proud of us.
That's why I do everything I do.
Right. It sort of sticks with us forever. I feel like that's really always it. And so just having their support and everything really does mean the world. And yeah. And my dad, both of my parents have always been the best. And I'm slowly morphing into my mother. Like, I've always recognized that. And it's just, she is who I am. And she's my favorite person on earth. But it's like, I'm becoming Linda Pellegrino. And I've accepted that.
God bless, though. God bless Linda Pellegrino. She's such a funny character in your book. And I'm so excited. And we'll come back with so many Housewives.
We have so much to talk about with Housewives, Danielle. Oh, my God.
I couldn't hold my breath any longer. I wanted to talk about it later, but I couldn't hold my breath. It's so good,
you guys.
It's so funny. And it's a beautiful read. So pick it up, guys. All right, we'll come back with some Salt Lake City. Danny, we're back.
Yes.
We're back. Okay. Part one. Salt Lake City reunion.
The fish pond. I'm obsessed
with that. To put live water in the middle of the stage with these women is a feat and also a fear. I'm afraid that's not going to go untouched, and they know that. These producers are not dumb, you know?
They did that purposely. They wanted to keep us all on the edge of our seat. And do we ever get confirmation? Were there live fish in there? Do we know if there were fish?
I haven't gotten confirmation. I'm going to say I don't think there would be because I think they'll hear it from PETA maybe. I don't know. Like, I just feel like...
Remember when the bird came on stage on, yes! I think it was an Orange County reunion. Yes! There was just a bird flew at Andy's head. I mean, the producers know that we need to get some livestock in there. We need to get some animals that spices things up.
RIP T'Challa too. You know, maybe it was
Wait, now I'm trying to think, were there ever any other live animals that have appeared at reunions? That's all I can think of at the moment.
I think that's it. There have been bugs. We've had some bugs, but no, I mean, I'm still looking. I'm still waiting. I'm still hoping. There have been so much at reunions, though. I'm sure like a mini horse has made its way onto the stage. Yeah. Don't you think so?
Yeah, one of Vanderpump's ponies, I feel like, has trotted on through at one point.
Yes, before it died a terrible death at Villa Vanderpump or whatever she
Villa
named
Rosa.
Her house. Oh, my God.
But I mean, really, what was the purpose of that live pun? Like, the only thing I could think of is like, okay, Mary's not here. We're going to need to up the tension. Let's just cut out a pond in the middle of the fucking stage. We're putting the pond so that if somebody storms off, guess what? They're going to have to go around that thing and it's going to be funny.
Yes. Or someone will get so mad that they splash it. You know, they don't have a wine glass to throw at another woman, but they splash this like sewage, this water sewage that's like, you know what I mean? Like on like some non-potable water on these women and give them like salmonella or something.
All over Jen Shah. She'll have a wet feathers by part three.
Those feathers. Someone posted something the other day. It made me laugh so hard. And I'm sorry, I don't remember who did it, but they just said, this is the view between Jen Shah's and it was just like looking through feathers at the set. It really made me laugh.
That's how I feel when I eat at one of Vanderpump restaurants, because I'm a tall person. She's got those olive trees everywhere. And I feel like I can't see anyone through like branches and stuff. And
anytime I go down to Beverly Hills, now Villa Blanca is closed. And it's the saddest sight you've ever seen. And it's literally like right across from like closed Kyle by Aileen. So like just two like husks of housewives remnants.
The
like,
graveyard. You know
what I mean? Like dead
graveyard
inside.
Of housewives.
Yes.
Oh my
graveyard
God.
Of housewives past. It's so depressing. But so where are you in the reunion? Like, what did you think of part one?
I loved it. I thought it was fantastic. I was a little, I don't know if my expectations were low because Mary wasn't there. And I like a Mary presence. And so I was of course, concerned going in. But I think my favorite thing that we do at the reunions now is when Andy's popping in their rooms beforehand and they got the curlers in, they're getting ready with the makeup artist, the hair people. That's when I just settle in and I relax and I start to feel good. And it seems like they lean into that even more now, where we get almost 5-10 minutes at the top of the show where Andy's just like, what did you think of that? And I live for the fact that they shot this right after they showed Meredith the footage of Jen or of Lisa calling her a shit garbage whore or whatever behind the door.
Like, fucked half of New York City or whatever she said.
They were so smart to film the reunion. Literally moment. I mean, it was less than 24 hours, I believe, after Meredith saw that. And I mean, brilliant, brilliant.
Really?
And so Andy walks into her room and like, how you feeling? And you know, Meredith's thinking, well, I just saw my best friend of 10 years call me a garbage whore. And the family, a bunch of posers. So she's already ready to head on out to that fish pond and have at it.
I know. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. And I'm also sort of like, it feels like this was just kind of like the calm before the storm. Like we're not seeing that much storm because we haven't seen the sort of, especially we don't have Mary, and that is a travesty. But we are seeing the calm before the storm of Lisa versus Meredith. You know what I mean? Like they haven't really spoken much. What do you think of the fashions?
Oh, awful. I mean, some of the worst fashions we've ever seen.
I mean, have you ever?
Never, never. And I almost feel bad actually talking about it because they're so bad. I feel like everyone has just dragged them to hell and back about these fashions. But with good reason. I mean, they're truly terrible.
Terrible.
Truly.
And I feel like you guys have watched, you know, countless seasons. You know, this is the prom. This is the Oscars. Like, we got to come correct. You know what I mean? Like, and to give us what we landed on. It just felt so, it felt rude.
And you know what I was thinking? Like, I was so focused on Jen Shah's feathers the whole time that I almost had forgotten. There was a moment when I was watching her, I saw Meredith and I was like, oh, fuck, like my eyes. I suddenly blacked out. I fainted to the floor and I came to and I was like, oh, I had forgotten. I just almost wasn't looking at Meredith because I was so focused on Jen. And I feel like that kept happening throughout the hour. I would just suddenly look at, you know, Whitney's green or I just kept, my focus kept coming into focus.
Yes. And then you'd forget. Your body protects you. So it forgets.
Like trauma.
But then, yeah, trauma. And then you remember, and then you land and you remember again. Oh, I'm still in this. I'm still here.
As Jamie Lee Curtis said on the press tour for the Halloween reboot, it's about trauma.
Yeah.
And this reunion is about trauma.
Thank God we have your encyclopedic memory of press clippings.
It's about trauma.
It is about trauma. Speaking of trauma, I felt so for the sound guys because between the feathers and even though Jen Shah took off those very loud gloves, she still had like just like a chandelier on her bodice. Like these poor guys, the sound has to be right there. Like there are clips of like there is a microphone right there, and the sound people on these shows are doing the Lord's work.
They're doing so much work. I mean, not only are they trying to boost the levels of Lisa behind the doorway when she's calling her friend of 10 years a garbage chore, they got to boost that audio. It's not easy.
And then sometimes they got to lower the audio because these bitches are blowing it out.
Right. The amount of work those people have to do behind the scenes to just get the audio level.
Yes.
I mean, they are working overtime for us, and the women aren't doing them any favors.
None.
It's like we need to have some rules in place here. Like we can't have certain things. I know for a while there was a rule about like not bringing props on the after the Kenya
yes.
Moore
well,
stuff.
After, yes, we because they were being used as weapons and we needed to.
But are we back to that? Did we just nix that rule now? Because I feel like they do bring props a little.
Has there been a prop lately? I mean, there's definitely props like binders. We have mm-hmm. binders. We have clip. You know, we have paper. You know, we have
poster boards from Dr. Wendy.
Yes, blown up texts. You know, like we have
Texas.
We have lots of that, but I don't think we're allowed like fans or an hourglass or, you know, like just things that like comedic props.
I want to see the actual like rule book on that. I just want to see it in writing, like how they specify. You're allowed to bring a poster board that you make at Kinko's, but not a...
I assume it's like when you get to the airport, you know, how you go in and like before you get in through security, it's like no explosives, no, you know, like liquids, no water bottles, no live animals, no vegetation, those sort of things.
Sure.
Are, I assume. Now, what do you think about... Heather always comes to fight at the reunions, don't you think?
She comes in hot at the reunions, and I don't know what it is. I don't know who's advising Heather with the reunions, because I do feel like she comes a little too hard, especially on Lisa. I love Lisa Barlow, mm-hmm. and I love Heather Gay, and so it does upset me that Heather goes so hard with Lisa Barlow, because it's two of my faves fighting, and I don't always like that. But
yeah.
I appreciate that Heather comes bringing us something. And it came out this week, there was this allegation on the reunion that like Heather had a DUI or something. And then Page Six revealed the details of the DUI. And I think it's, to me, it wasn't as much of a gotcha as everyone was acting on the thing. I mean, you know.
I mean, in all honesty, a housewife without a DUI at this point is a gotcha, you know, like we,
right.
nothing, and again, I don't think
no
it's,
one's supporting
it's very
a DUI,
dangerous. I'm just saying
course.
It's such a. It feels like that's, oh, she has a DUI check. Let's let her on the show. Like, it does feel a little like that's what we're looking for when we're casting housewives a little bit.
The thing that confuses me most about our dear Heather Gay is how she is so quick to forgive Jen Shah for the Shrek comments, but then the Lego figurine is crossing the line. And so it's like, it's hard for me to see where that line is with Heather Gay. I'm happy to go along with her. I just need to know, because to me, Lego figurine, I guess it was boxy. Was that the reason why
yes,
it was offensive?
I'm assuming, you know, my Lego figurines are all quite boxy, I will say.
So let me ask you, if somebody said you look like a Lego figurine, which are you insulted by that more so than Donkey from Shrek? Was it Donkey from Shrek?
No, I think it's Shrek.
Wait, who was called Donkey? Whitney.
Whitney is Donkey and okay. No, I think she's Shrek. Look, neither of them are nice. As I say to my daughter, always, we just don't talk about people's bodies at all.
Sure.
We
sure.
just don't. It's not for you to talk about somebody else's body, even good or bad, whatever you think, just your thoughts on it in general are not important. So I think that's sort of the rule. Anytime anyone talks about your body, even if they think they're giving you a compliment, a lot of times it's like people just don't want their body talked about. So that's,
right.
I think you can't, unless they're telling you, you look great, but still, you know, it still draws attention.
But even then it can screw up what people said, I think,
exactly.
You know, it's like, And I think one of the great things about where we're sort of at culturally is that we all have a wide variety of bodies, and we should celebrate all those bodies.
Yes, healthy bodies. That's the goal. Healthy, healthy, healthy. And as we know, if you're drinking 12 big gulps of Diet Dr. Pepper every day, I don't care what your body looks like, it's probably not a healthy body.
And it's all about the intention, right? Like Jen Shah, I think her intention in saying the thing about the Shrek comment or whatever it was just as mean as Lisa Barlow saying her intention with the Lego figurine. So it's just, she's very quick to forgive Jen Shah, which maybe they have a closer relationship. I don't know.
Jen Shah has been terrible to her.
I agree.
Terrible.
I agree.
So it is a little bit shocking. I'm always just like, Heather, like, I would say Jen Shah's been just, I think, though, their relationship is a little more sort of like highs, highs and low lows. With her relationship with Lisa, she's never had any friendship with Lisa. So when Lisa comes for her, she's just angrier because she's always felt sort of like hurt by Lisa. Like, she thinks that Lisa thinks she's better than her. Where Jen, it's like they have had some good times and some laughs. So she's willing to sort of like forgive the occasional Shrek comment.
I also have this theory that behind the scenes, I think Lisa is maybe harder to deal with behind the scenes. Of course, we get the allegations of this week. She said something, I think Heather had accused Lisa being upset that she didn't get the premiere party for the first episode. And then also, I think even the fact that the Bravo people showed us that hot mic moment with Lisa, not only in that episode a couple of weeks ago, but also in the coming attraction for this Sunday's reunion episode, we see another hot mic moment. And I think that they're telling us a little bit like, oh, behind the scenes, Lisa is different. And so yes. I almost think that might be some of what Heather goes so hard at Lisa for. And we as the audience don't see all of that. So we're just watching the reunion being like, why the hell is Heather so crazed about Lisa? Like, she seems to hate her so much. And I don't know, maybe I'm reading too much into it, but I have this conspiracy theory that it's like they're trying to tell us like behind the scenes, she's tough.
Well, I think that's a big housewives thing. It's like you, if you're not acting who you are behind the scenes and on screen as the same person, I think that's a real pet peeve of other housewives. Like, be real, like that whole thing. You know what
I
mean?
Be real, gotta own it.
Lisa Rinna is always talking like, you're not being real, own it. You know what I mean? I think that like, so maybe they think that like being fake is almost worse than being a bitch because they're like, oh, just be who you are. I'd respect you more if you just are who you are. But believe me, Lisa's coming off as a bitch. Like, she's not doing a great job of hiding it.
I love her.
She's, yeah, do I want to be friends with her? No, but do I love her? Yes. Now, another amazing thing that happened this week, well, just that we were excited, is our friend Akilah Green, very popular on this podcast, very funny writer, Emmy nominated writer, got one of her questions to Andy on the show, and it was a big one. It was like Akilah from Los Angeles asked like to Jenny, like, you talk about Mary being racist, but you know, we have seen you, and I'm paraphrasing Akilah's question, sort of coming for Mary and, you know, kind of like imitating Mary on the show. And that is feeling, you know, also tinged with racism. And then, and this is before all the stuff came out with Jenny, Akilah sort of held Jenny's feet to the fire on that. And of course, Jenny blew it off as I'm not that way, blah, blah, blah. But we know now that that's not true, actually. So, but yeah, I was just really, I was happy that Akilah got that out there. And that even though, you know, we didn't get anything from Jenny, and Jenny's never going to admit or say like, hey, you know, I should look at my behavior and maybe I need to look at myself instead of pointing it outwards, that we did not get. We didn't think we would get that, but you know, it was.
Yeah, I'm glad. It was nice that they highlighted that. I just want to ask you, I'm curious, what are your thoughts on Jen Shah by the end of this? Because is there a part of you that it has been unfortunately or fortunately, however you look at it, charmed by her throughout
season? I have been saying, I've never, like, in a season where this woman has obviously, I mean, we don't know, but allegedly done some pretty fucking terrible things, never been lighter or breezier. Like, just the breath of fresh.
It is shocking. It is shocking. And even at the reunion, I'm seeing her and she's smiley and light.
She's fun. Yeah. You know, just high kicking and making jokes and shaking maracas. And my God, I mean, there's something to be said for finally being caught. You know what I mean? And like, I finally got caught. The worry is over.
And of course, there are different situations, but I think we're all comparing it to the way that the Erika Jayne had handled the reunion for Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. And so I think it's fascinating to see Erika came in very emotional, you know, emotionally charged and at times was crying and Andy was grilling her. And it seems like with Jen Shah, Andy's asking some questions about the lawsuit. She's like, I don't know.
Whereas Erika's just like, it's been so heavy. And again, like, Jen is actually probably committed the crime where Erica's like tangentially like spent the money that she didn't know. You know what I mean? Like, so we have two people that are involved in very different ways. And one of them is so light and breezy about it. And it's so odd to me, but it makes it more fun. You know what I mean? Where it's like, if she can forget her troubles, then so can I a little bit.
And maybe that's the strategy here. I think maybe that could be the strategy. It's like, well, if I just don't acknowledge much of it, then maybe no one else will.
And it's working. And I feel bad about that. Now, her trial got delayed. Did you see that? It was supposed to be like next month. And now it's in May or July. I forget.
July. I think July 11th. Maybe I read that wrong.
Maybe. July 11th at 10:30 a.m.
How sad that I just knew that. It's like that's front and center in my brain right now. It's like I think I got moved to July 11th. But I'm concerned about next season because they're filming. So now they're either going to have to do pickups or going to have to extend the filming of the season, which I'm all for. I mean, even though this season felt, I think it was like 74 episodes this season.
This was a long season. I feel like we could have... I mean, we were on those Sprinter vans for weeks on the Sprinter van. I was feeling so claustrophobic. I'm not going to lie. Like, I never want to see a Sprinter van again.
And I don't even think they realized they had gotten so much footage. I think they probably filmed the same amount of time they film on something like Orange County. But it was like, they just gave us too much content. They got in the editing bay and they were like, there's absolutely no way we can lose this. This is going to be half the whole episode. Sorry, everyone's going to have to be here for an hour on the Sprinter van. But it was a heavy season. I could have done with 10 more episodes. You know, it's still usually by the end of these long seasons, I'm ready to say goodbye, but I wanted more, which doesn't usually happen.
Well, I was ready to say goodbye. I will, but I'm also ready to get to the next season. I'm ready to like move. You know what I mean? I'm just like, I'm ready to move and groove. Like, I want to get more plot. That's what I need. Like, more vans, more plot.
We need a week break and then we need to come back with them. Because that always happens at the end of the season. Even the bad seasons, I'm like, oh, get rid of it. Like New York, I didn't like the last season of New York. And then 2 weeks go by and I'm like, where are they? I miss them.
No, I need them. I'm like, where's Potomac? Where's Beverly Hills? Like, we need to be shooting constantly. All right, let's come back and talk New Jersey. Take a little break. All right, we're back with New Jersey. Now, I say this probably every week, but I mean it more and more every week. I'm so happy to be spending my summer in New Jersey.
Me too.
I am happy to be barbecuing and on the Jersey Shore with the crispiest burnt people. And I'm just having the summer of my life.
I was giggling. I was so like giddy, like a little schoolgirl when I saw Joe Gorga in the Nucky shirt that looked like the Gucci logo. Like, yes. I just felt so at home. He felt like a brother, an uncle. It's like, yes. I just was so, when I saw that Gucci logo, but it said Nucky.
I was so happy. I was so happy. I really was.
And you mentioned the barbecue, and I do just want to talk about this for at least 45 minutes. They were sitting at the barbecue and they had the paper plates that Jen served the food on, and they had hot dogs, hamburgers, but there's nothing worse to me than going to really any dinner outdoor function where you get those really cheap, flimsy paper plates and there's no tables or anything and you have to eat them on the lap. Yeah. And I just couldn't imagine any other franchise. I can't think of one other where they wouldn't at least have a table out for them. It was like they had to eat those messy barbecue
Jersey
foods.
Don't give a fuck. And that's what I love.
Hair and makeup and glam with the paper fucking plate on their lap.
Thank you for pointing this out. This is why we need you, Danny, because these are the details. These are the details. So flimsy. And also just, you know what New Jersey does that no other city does? And I love it. Just puts out so much goddamn food and just piles of thrown together. Like not in a, like, it's just like those trays. I catered half my life. I mean, and worked in restaurants half my life, but just those like
those foil trays.
Foil trays of like lobster. You know what I mean? Where it's like in no other town.
Lobster. Give me that lobster.
Like, I'll
again.
Still never forget in Jersey. Their food is so interesting to me. Do you remember? I'll never forget this last season when they ordered a steak to share as an appetizer. Like I'll never, never left my brain.
Yes.
Because I just didn't know that was an option. You know what I mean?
It is in Jersey.
Like, but But in Jersey, anything goes and the food is bananas. You know what I mean?
I always remember Nono at 6 a.m, like yes. dropping the squid into the yes! pot. It's like 6 a.m. or something. It was like, he's just dropping a full squid in there because yeah. we need to get cooking. And that's the Italian way. You start cooking early. You just have it, you have it running all day.
I want to be a part of it. I mean, that's, I want to be a part of it. I'm Jewish, so I recognize some of, you know, like there are some sort of like similarities in Jewish cooking and Italian and, you know, like, but that's the side of me that wants to be in New Jersey, loves New Jersey. I feel at home in New Jersey. I feel like I would be welcomed in any of their homes.
And yes,
I love that about them.
And they're such pros too, because as they're at that barbecue and they were all eating, Marge had a hot dog.
Yes.
They were all like literally eating a full barbecue meal, fucking flimsy paper plate on their lap and yet going at it with each other and like going quick. It was like everyone had their beats. Everyone had their fights. There were so many layers to that whole barbecue. It was like Louis versus Margaret. Then it was Melissa versus Jen.
I am finding Louis to be terrifying.
I sort of like him.
What? No. He's terrifying when he's like, when he says, I have to teach, like he's trying to train Teresa like a goddamn dog.
I didn't like how he said the thing about the ear or whatever. What did he say? He's like, you got 2 ears.
You have 2 ears and 1 mouth.
I didn't like that.
I didn't like that. I also didn't like, he said, I got to walk away or she doesn't listen. Like yeah. he's like that stuff really kind yeah. of like was a red flag for me. I was just like, right. Oh, there's a control thing. And there's like all this therapy, quote unquote therapy he's doing. It's a little bit about control that I don't like.
And he throws out a lot of phrases that are almost something off of a Home Goods pillow or something where it's yeah. like, he's obviously like done a lot of this kind of work and he has these sort of phrases.
But it feels like outward work and control mm-hmm. work as opposed to like working on himself. I feel like it's telling him how to deal with the world, but like mm-hmm. not, I don't know.
I will say this was the first week where I saw some of the red flags that I think other people saw, because that other video, like, I sort of watched it.
Oh yeah.
And I was like, oh, he seems sweet.
Yeah. I just think, but then he's also lying. Because he's literally proposing to that woman in the video. And he's like, I was trying to break up with her. It's like, we all have eyes and ears, Louis.
Right. Like and I'm kind of pissed that they got it blocked from the show, that video. So we just keep hearing the women talk about it. And I'm mm-hmm. not sure how exactly it got blocked from the show. Maybe they couldn't get releases from all those men who were topless or without their blouses in the video. But like, I also
love how you call all men's top blouses and you do that in your book. And it makes me laugh every, because the word blouse is a gorgeous word.
Yeah, it's a beautiful word. And I think we should all use it.
And it's in your book, and I laughed every time. But anyway, okay, keep going. Sorry.
Well, but maybe they couldn't get all those blouseless men to sign a release or something. But I still feel like we should have coughed up the money, because if that's going to be a storyline on here for the whole thing, I think people need to see it. Because you and I, we hop on Reddit or people on social media will send us the video. So we've seen it upwards of 100 times every single hour on the hour. Somebody DMs me the video and I've watched it again.
Like the Zapruder film. Like I am watching it in slow motion. I'm watching it in fast. I'm watching like I have studied that footage. You know, for a lot of the time, I was trying to figure out, as people who listen to the podcast, like if it was in a jacuzzi or on the beach. Like this was a big question that was like, I mean, I've watched it countless times, but I hope that other people have had that privilege.
They should put it in the AMC theaters. They need to put it in the theaters so we can watch
Nicole
it. Because
Kidman watching.
Heartbreak feels good when you're watching Louis' video. But I think that they should have coughed up the money for it. And this was the first week where I was seeing some of the Louis red flags. Also, the fact of Teresa saying to him, like, oh, there's cameras in here. She's mentioned it a couple times. That makes me think, like, she's on high alert on what he's saying. And I think part of it is probably wanting to protect him. She just started dating this guy. She's in reality TV. He's not. But just the way that Teresa's going about it makes me think, like, I hope that... we all want Teresa to be happy. Like I want Teresa to just have, you know, the best. So I hope he's the best to her.
Yeah, me too.
And they kept saying in the episode too, like we don't care about his past. We're not judging him on his past. And it's like, well, if no one knows him, that's the only thing they can judge him on. Like,
yeah. And Teresa's just like, no, I don't want to go, you know, it's about me and now and the future. But it's like, but he does have a past. We can forgive the past, but we have to acknowledge the past.
I think Teresa is probably one of the greatest reality stars we've had, but it's moments like in this episode where I think she has trouble seeing other sides or of any given scenario. And so it can be frustrating because I feel like sometimes it can put the show in a standstill where it almost stops the arguments in their tracks because if someone's unable or unwilling to see another side of an argument, then how do you mend it? You can't mend it. You can't go forward. You can't really even do anything. You just kind of get stuck in it and the wheel just keeps spinning.
Well, that's Teresa. Right. She is a hamster. Sometimes her brain is a hamster wheel. It. Yeah. But I love her. I love her. And I also, what do you think of Jen's kind of like the breaking down of Jen and her relationship also with Jackie? I mean, that was the quickest relationship we've ever seen on this show. And she should have known never to trust Jen. But what do you make of this whole...
I was so excited, Danielle, to see a Jackie and Jen team up season. Like, it seemed like such a new dynamic for the show, for these women. And one of the things that I've had trouble with Jersey is it seems like we got these two sides every season since Jackie and Jen joined the show. It's always been Dolores, Teresa, and Jen, and then Melissa, Margaret, Jackie on the other side. And I want them to kind of start intermixing. And it seemed like at the beginning of the season, we were starting to get that. It seemed like Dolores was kind of being more friendly with Margaret, I think that they are very close in real life, but on the show, they keep them apart. And then I thought Jackie and Jen, I thought it was so refreshing, and maybe we'll come back to it. But I was so disappointed then when it just ended with Jackie and Jen.
It was so fast. But Jen, like, Jen's a monster. And Jackie, I do like Jackie. You know, Jen's more interesting to watch, per se, because she's got so much more turmoil in her life with her husband right now, and just the way she's so reactive. I mean, Bill just stands to the side.
I felt bad for Jen when Bill just sort of hid in the background and left, because it seemed like he wasn't being there for her. And then I almost, because I think looking in Jen's eyes, it was sad to me, because she is on the front lines of this program fighting for her marriage and the husband, and he just disappears. And part of that probably is him just not wanting to be on TV and deal with all of this. But it just, I felt so bad for her. And I think Jen has been showing like a more vulnerable side this earlier in the season in particular. And I think that's a great shade on Jen, because...
Oh, I am very empathetic to Jen, and I love watching her. She is really becoming a star in New Jersey for me. She's just so complex. And the fact that her and Bill never talked about the affair at all, like, I've never heard anything more heartbreaking in my life. And now the first time that it's actually being talked about, it's by other people, and it's doing it on national TV, and he's just backing away. Like it is, the whole thing is heartbreaking. I'm so angry at him. People have affairs. That is their business. You deal with it how you want to. But it is out now, and you need to be there for your wife. You need to protect your wife. You need to say, I fucked up. I did this. I'm fighting for my marriage. We're in it. It was a long time ago. We're dealing it the way that we deal. Like, come out swinging.
A lot of it could have just been cut down right there if Bill would just come out and say, yeah, I fucked up and I'm sorry. But we're moved past it. Hopefully you can all move past it too, right? The other thing that really pissed me off about the situation was the Dolores of it all, because I think Dolores was really largely the reason why Jackie and Jen aren't able to move forward, because she, I think, twisted those words.
She did.
And tried to make it seem like Jackie was digging a knife into Jen's back when she said, well, Bill's the one who stuck it in someone. And the truth is, it's like, yeah, that's true. Bill is the one we should all be mad at here. Like, what? I mean, he was the one that, you know, we should, why are we all fighting with each other?
Yeah, and that only came about because I think like Marge or somebody else said, I feel sorry for Bill. And it's like, I don't. Fuck that guy. I feel sorry for Bill. And it's like, who feels sorry for Bill? Bill's getting off easy. It's Jen.
I know. He's getting off so easy.
And I feel for Jen, just to be stuck in a summer house with your kids and you're fighting for your marriage, and it's just come out that he's had an affair, and it's not even, because it's different, I think, when something comes out, but you've already digested it, and it still hurts. I'm not saying that like that wound can't be opened back up, but when you've done the work as a person and as a couple to process that wound and moved on, it's not quite as painful when you've worked on it. But there has been no work done on it, no acknowledgement of it, no fighting through it. And so it is so raw because it was never healed. There was no healing.
And we're seeing all these other little threads too. I mean, even the plastic surgery thing where I understood what she was saying, but I didn't feel that that's really the reason why she went to this other doctor. Do you get what I mean?
Yes.
She said it's because we had this thing or whatever. And she kind of blew it off as if it just seemed better for us if I went and did this other doctor. But I just, something about it, I didn't feel.
It didn't feel when the words hit, they didn't bounce like they, you know what I mean? They didn't land.
Speaking of bouncing, we're at the Jersey Shore. Do you believe that Frank Sr. hooked up with any boat whores while he was filming? Because I know
every day, every night, that guy is putting it in like a pen in an inkwell. Like he is funny.
I love every episode when somebody just brings up like, yeah, you left me for those boat whores or what do they call boat whores?
Boat whores. What's a boat whore?
They just keep saying boat whores.
Boat whores. Like,
As if it's just in the vernacular.
I feel like it's like a traveling, like a house of ill repute just on the waterways.
On
like,
the waterfront.
Like it's just a traveling house of whores.
Just like Judy Greer in Arrested Development, just constantly flashing her boobies on the Jersey Shore. And it's like,
boat whore. I want to be a boat whore this summer. I would love nothing more than to be a boat whore. Frank is, I loved the pictures of Frank and Dolores as a young couple.
God. Yeah. Frank was so hot too. And
he was.
What was that story Dolores told where Frank slept on their floor and then the mom was holy watering him or something?
Yes. He thought the mom was peeing on him. Such a wild story. And why is she throwing holy water at him? Like there's so many wild details.
We just all brush past it. And that's the thing with these shows. They give us these details and we just accept them. We're like, Frank thought the mom was peeing on him.
Yeah, but it was just holy. No worries. Just holy water.
I get that though. In the Italian culture, my grandma used to always bring holy water everywhere. She would go to church. She would fill up a jug, her empty orange juice bottles, whatever, and she'd fill it up with sink water. She would get it blessed by the priest, and she'd bring it over, and we'd have to drink the holy water. And she'd
you'd have to drink it.
We would drink it. We put it in the fridge and drink it as our water. And I mean, we didn't have like Dasani. We didn't do Dasani or Fiji. We had an orange juice bottle. It always had like a little taste of orange juice in it.
Ooh, kind of like a La Croix.
It was sort of like a low budget Italian blessed version of La Croix.
That's so funny. Oh my. Well, in the Jewish religion, we had my grandpa, no holy water, but he would come to my house and put every corner that we could hurt ourselves on, he'd put a Band-Aid on. So none of the kids could hurt themselves on a corner. Just a Band-Aid on corner, on like a table, anything.
Sure.
It didn't help, but just remember him coming to my house. Like he didn't live near us. He was like in New York and he would come down to where we lived in Georgia and just put Band-Aids on every sharp object.
The things we do in the name of religion, honestly.
God, I don't know if that was religion. It's just been neurotic Judaism.
Right. There is one thing I think we need to talk about with New Jersey that we haven't gotten to, and that's that that pool game that Joe Gorga decided to play.
Oh, like
As if he was me in high school at a student council leadership retreat. He just decided to get the gang together to play an icebreaker activity in the pool.
It was so odd. So odd. Can we also talk about Tiki Barber's wife? And I don't know her name.
What are we doing with her?
What are
and
we
I think
do-
she was like, supposed to be a main housewife and I was excited for her, but obviously she's not bringing anything. And when she went after Teresa, it was such like a dip your toe in the water way of
you can't come for the king.
No. And I was like mad at her.
I know. I was like, if you're going to try and shoot the king, you got to kill. You're not killing.
And believe me, I don't want on this show for all of the cast members to be afraid of Teresa because it really is the Teresa show. Like I think this more than anything is Teresa's show. And I want the other women to not feel fear. These are ensembles. So I think it's important that we all have our storylines going on and no one's afraid of one another.
Our producer just put in our chat. It's Tracy Lynn Johnson.
Tracy Lynn Johnson. That's her name.
Thank you for that.
But for having a new housewife kind of like dip their peakishly go, I don't know. It just did not work.
Yeah, she's not doing it for me quite yet. And then Tiki Barber like comes in as like people are storming off and he's just like, hey guys, what's going on?
Wait, Danielle, I wrote down a quote that Teresa said when Tracy called out. Tracy kept saying, you're a family. You need to support each other. And Teresa, as she was walking away, she said, and I quote, my brother needs to stop this bitch from running her fucking mouth. And I, when... when I hear the ladies on New Jersey talk like that, it just makes me feel so peace. I don't know. It's all my troubles melt away.
Yeah, because it feels like all's right in the world. You know what I mean? Like sometimes we just need people to be themselves and that's how we feel our peace.
That's Teresa.
And sometimes it's calling a woman this bitch and telling her to shut her mouth. That feels like coming home.
Teresa and Melissa just hate each other so much, though. And I'm sort of over the, they have tried to play nice for a couple seasons now and pretend that they get along or like each other, but they just so clearly despise each other more than almost anyone else on the planet. Like,
oh, I think yeah.
The two of them really hate each other. And so I think instead of having Tracy come in and try to say something, it's like, let's just be honest. Melissa, you do not like this woman. Teresa, you do not like this woman. We can't pretend. That, and it's going to snap. Like, I don't think it's going to fully snap this season. We might get moments of it, but I think give it one or two more seasons and the Melissa-Teresa dynamic is going to completely explode because they've been trying to bamboozle us for too long.
Yeah. And I also think that like, and I feel, and I think I said this even last week on the podcast, I have been remiss in that thinking that like, and I think a lot of us have saying Teresa's the bad guy, Melissa's the good one. And it's not that simple. Melissa's not who we think she is. And again, I have no real sources on this. It's a gut feeling.
It's a gut. And I mean, there's still so many questions about the way that they joined the show, that's joined the program. And I sort of, the longer that time goes on, I used to be more on Melissa's side when it came to the joining of the show. And Teresa has never wavered from that story of the fact that she didn't know and they went behind her back to join the show. And so I don't know, maybe I'm on her side with that one.
I'm just, you know, we're all reconsidering, you know, we pull back and we see things we didn't see before. And I think that's okay. And so New Jersey, though, I am really just
I'm so happy
for it this season. I really am. And I thank the Bravo gods for giving me it at just the right time. Just when I was hitting like a, I don't know, like a pandemic kind of wall of like, oh, I got to get out in the world. I need like to vacation and relax and meet people. And New Jersey's giving me that. And
so incredibly consistent. And I think there's something to be said about having the same cast for a number of seasons without with very little change. Of course, they brought in that other one and it didn't work out.
Yeah.
They've tried to make Lexi happen for a few years
Lexi's not happening. Lexi, God bless you. Oh, did I? Margaret Joseph, who I love. I fucking love this woman. Okay. I had said on Watch What Happens Live that, you know, she needs to start wearing underwear. Because, you know, as we age, and I say this is a woman who's aging beautifully, but still aging, that, you know, everything gets longer and stretched out, including vaginas. And I don't want to see that, you know, and I have to DM her back, but she got my DMs and she's like, you guys are hilarious. Very sweet. But she has such a sense of humor, which I adore about her. But she was like, but just so you know. You know, I'm keeping it right and tight. Everything's good. Just as Joe, it's all good down there. And I was like, God,
I love
this
that.
Woman. I like when they have a sense of humor. They know that we're talking about them, but we're joking and it comes from a place of love. And then she jokes back like, God, like, because I'm terrified of all housewives. I don't want them to know I exist. But if they can come at me with, you know, a joke too, God bless them. Then I'm
the good ones get it. I feel like the good ones, the Margarets, the Dorindas, they're, I don't want to say necessarily in on the joke, but they appreciate a good sense of humor. Yes. And we love people who can appreciate a good sense of humor.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, let's take a little break and come back with OC. We're back with OC. Now look, OC is just giving us too much Dubrow right now, if you ask.
It's a lot of Dubrow. It's a lot of Dubrow. And they're relying too much on Dubrow to run the franchise. And there was a moment this week where I felt like they were setting up her spinoff show that's on E, the Seven, what I don't know what it's called. And we're not here to give them promo.
No, we're not, Danny. Let them pay for that.
But pre-order my book. How do I unremember this? I'm watching. But the fact is that whole scene where it almost felt like they were setting that up. It's like Heather's going to give relationship advice. And then she's coming over. When she went over to Gina's casita with the bag of clothes.
Yes. I was like, what are you doing here?
I mean, it was just too much promo for Heather's wares. It was like, we don't need to see you going over with the Heather's closet or whatever, which I didn't even know she had a clothing line. I had said something on my show about her tags in her closet. People were yelling at me like, how dare you not know that she has a clothing line?
She has a clothing line.
It's never been on the show until now. And even in that scene where she goes over to Casita's house, it's set on the bag, but they didn't say she's giving away her line of clothes.
No, I just thought she bought her two jackets in different sizes.
I saw on Instagram, somebody posted, it was like her her jacket or something.
Of course. Like, I thought she was giving, just bought her jackets out of the kindness of her heart. It's no, it's her brand. Of course, because that's Heather. There's always something underneath it. You don't believe anything. And there's always like, I'm her fairy godmother. It's like, you know, that's how she views herself. And it's like, just if you want to help someone, help them without trying to like be this thing to like this, you're calling yourself their mentor when they haven't decided that. Like, I just...
Yeah, they needed a bridge this season. I think they relied too heavily on bringing Heather back, which I think Heather's great for the show. Like, I'm not someone who...
But it's too much. Want her.
Too much. And I really believe, and this isn't a popular opinion, and I, for one, was for years calling for Tamara to be fired from the show. So believe me, no one's more surprised by me saying this than me. But I think they needed a Tamara presence or someone kind of
We
in
need
that.
Another alpha. We another need another alpha, alpha.
Another bridge between the other women, because the rest of the women, they're all, I mean, barely supporting.
Like, oh, I know. We got Gina and the other one, or I don't even
hip
know.
Hip and Casita is what I call them.
What do you call them? What and Casita?
Hip and Casita. Emily and Gina.
She had this, she broke her hip.
Because she, remember her tagline? She shouted, new hip!
Can I ask the question, who is in Noella's opening?
Who it's her the, mother.
Is
it's
that her mother?
Who we've never, I think
we've
maybe
never
has
met.
Appeared in the as an extra or something. For I'm a like, while, I really thought it was just someone they cast from Central Casting, like an extra or something.
It's the first time I really touched down on that opening. I think it might have been one of the first times I've really watched the opening was this week. And I was like, who's that woman? I've like, never seen her in my life.
What do you think of Noella? What are you thinking? She wasn't in much this week.
No, she wasn't. And it's good because she was growing a little tired. So we just haven't landed on our OC cast. We haven't gotten to our sweet spot. We're trying. We got rid of Kelly Dodd happily. But we just haven't hit our stride. The plastic surgeon. Is her name Jen as well?
Jen.
There's too
Ryan.
Many Jens.
There's so many Jens.
So
happening.
Many fucking Jens.
Too much Jen work on Bravo. Yeah.
Look, Jen was a very popular name, like late 70s, early 80s. I get it. But I have had my fill of Jens. I can't keep up. But
Jen's not even interesting enough with the... She's got all this marriage trouble, which I feel like in another person or cast member or franchise, it would be so thrilling. But even I'm watching, I'm like, ugh.
Watching her get wasted and like...
So cringe.
It reminded me of that like Vicky Gumbelson moment, but like much more boring. Of like, remember when Vicky was like, you know, kiss me to Don. Like, fill my love tank. Mm-hmm. Kiss me, hold me. Hold me like that. Like... But it was much darker in some way. I don't know.
Vicky would have been fun cringe.
Yeah.
And also they're asking us to care a lot about the, I mean, with Noella, with Dr. Jen and Ryan, I think we're being asked to care about their relationships before we really understand who they are. And so I think that's where we're all watching it and saying like, well, I don't know if I don't even understand this woman. So you're asking me to feel bad for her that she's the victim, but like, I don't quite even understand who this human is.
Yeah. And I don't like any, like, I don't like Rind. I don't like, I've never met, you
the
know.
Socks, the socks, Danielle, the socks were just so troublesome to me. The socks with the loafers. I mean, the socks with the loafers. The socks with
and
the loafers,
what about,
Danielle,
and
the socks.
You can't get over it. I was troubled by the fact that he had the shirt and it was so uncomfortable in the shirt and he can't, why can't the man wear a shirt? I can't. I
was
that.
So uncomfortable that whole dinner. And I also sort of sided with him with all those people. And when they were all judging him with the napkin and the thing, I did sort of feel
bad
for him.
To make a fool of him. I mean, he's never worn a shirt before, so we had to protect the shirt. But it was a sad moment. You know what I mean? He was like, yeah. I don't know how to function with a shirt on when I just have my body out. I just use my chest as a napkin. But
he's not used to wearing a blouse.
No, he's not used to a blouse. And he wanted to protect the blouse at all costs. And I get that. But like, be on your husband's side. I don't know. It just, I felt for him at the moment. And I hate him. Let me just put that out here.
Too.
I don't like him that he makes her feel guilty for like not being around the kids when she's fucking like the worker in the family and she's working her ass off. Like that bothered me about him. But I also feel like, you know, he's doing something for you at this moment. Like he's coming to the scene. He's obviously uncomfortable. Like be there for him, help him. as opposed to like tearing him down. It was so awkward and her wasted and being like, just hold my head in the car. Let me lay on you. I was like, I have to get out of here. I was jumping out of my skin.
That's when I think I felt the most claustrophobic. But also the elephant in the room is that this man doesn't want to be on television and they had a fraught relationship and she decided to do something to go on a TV show when the relationship was already fraught. And it's like, if you really wanted to save that marriage or have you do something for him or the relationship, then you wouldn't have gone on this TV show because he obviously doesn't want to film anything. And I think even once she was cast, they probably told her, as a good smart producer would tell any of their cast members, like, you're going to need to show your family and your home life. So he needs to be on the show. And he probably tried to get out of it. And she probably went to him. This is all in my head that I'm imagining, but I imagine she went to him and said, look, they're going to fire me. They won't put me on the show. They'll make me a friend of whatever. They'll reduce my screen time unless you appear. And he is so obviously doesn't want to be in front of any camera.
No, he does not.
And she's making him film these scenes and then she's being so cringe and it's just making the fraught relationship more fraught or fraughter,
fraudulous.
Fraudulous. It's just so dark.
Oh. It's so dark. And I do think when you're in a troubled marriage, you have to choose between the show and your marriage. You cannot thread that needle. You cannot.
It's so sad.
And then we have a Shannon. You know, Shannon, shockingly, has been a bright spot these last few weeks. She's been sort of a fun thrill. You know, we didn't get much of her, but we got like a little bit of just kind of crazy Shannon, you know, which is...
I think she's checked out this season. And I very much dislike Shannon, but I recognize the fact that the show needs her. So she's not someone I want to go anywhere by any means. But some things happened this season where I just feel like Shannon's not really being Shannon as much. And we're getting a couple of the little quirkier moments,
but she just
seems completely checked out from it all.
Because she doesn't have someone to play off of. And Heather is too big of a force for her to play off of, especially like now that Heather's in a bigger house than her. Like that's like so traumatic for her now that she lives like not down the hill from Heather, but like, you know, like in her mind, a smaller place. Like she can't handle it. But we are getting this season. We're getting a woman named Tawny and a woman named Kenny. And I've never seen either of these women in my life.
That was Tawny, their audition.
That was Tawny coming in like a bustier with a button-down white Oxford. Like it was a wild outfit. And then Kenny with just a, like, I don't know who these women are, but they came like a bat out of hell. And I'm just supposed to be okay with someone named Tawny and Kenny coming on the screen all of a sudden.
And there's nothing better when then somebody pops in and you know they're auditioning for the show. They're hoping they have their breakup moment. And even speaking of breakup moments, we also got a Lizzie appearance, which I mean, this was even darker than the relationship marriage stuff that was happening with Ryan, because Lizzie was a main cast member for a season.
I don't even remember Lizzie coming, but when did we get Lizzie?
She was at Hip's house.
No,
and they didn't even mic her up, which
I was going to say, I didn't even notice her and I was tired, but for me to not remember bathing suit mogul Lizzie Wurzbach or whatever.
Once dated Nick Lachey. Nick, obviously, Nick Lachey, my arch nemesis. But I think I want your listeners to really focus on this because it's one of the greatest things that happens on all of these shows. When a full-time cast member comes back, it's great when we get to catch up with them. Oftentimes on Beverly Hills, we get a little Eileen appearance, which I know you're not an Eileen fan. I love my Eileen Davidson.
I'm still happy to see her, even though wasn't a great... For me, cast member, happy to come across her.
Right. We get a Kim Zolciak appearance on Real Houses of Atlanta or you know, people pop in and
out. Got Charisse on Potomac.
Right. I miss Charisse.
I love Charisse. So we get, you know, I love these pops.
But they mic them.
They do.
And the bad ones, they do not mic or even, I mean, sometimes they maybe don't have a mic. They'll do a boom, but
we always get Gina Kehoe on mic. We're never not getting Gina Kehoe on mic. No.
Gina's always going to be mic'd up. And it's so funny to me that these women, because you know they get their hair and makeup done. They're going to a party that they know is being filmed. And then they don't even get mic'd. They're cut out of the episode. It's so funny and also very sad to me. And I love it. I love it.
I do. Look, Danny, a pleasure having you.
My pleasure, Danielle.
Always. Is there any thoughts you didn't get to get across about your beautiful ladies that you'd love to
I just want to say that with Orange County, I think we're on the right track and hopefully the women will gel next season. And I think we do need to bring in some more people. But I also think we need to all recognize the fact that most of these women wouldn't last on any other franchise.
Yeah.
And the fact that Hip and Casita have been around for this long.
For so long. Like, you're bringing nothing to the table. Nothing to the table. They would have been destroyed on any other city. Other city. They wouldn't have been a friend of. It would have been one and done. If
they wouldn't have been making on Summer House. They wouldn't even, I mean, they're not even popping by candy in the gang.
Like, no, this they is are not popping by candy in the gang.
Happening.
No,
they Which, are by the not. Way, I saw the Candy in the Gang premiere. It's really good. I hope
is
people
it good?
Watch
okay, I'm going to watch
it. I liked it a lot.
Well, I love Candy. I love her family. I mean, how can we not? I think this is hopefully going to be like the new Vanderpump Rules or something. That's what people are saying, but I'm very excited for it.
The premiere feels that way, and it feels like it's got so much like amazing potential. So I'm super excited.
I'm very excited. Oh, thank you.
What am I promoting them for? We need to promote.
I know. Let's promote your book because, guys, I know we talked a bit about it at the beginning, but go do yourself a favor. This is a favor to you. Go get Danny's How Do I Unremember This? Unfortunately, True Stories. You know, you can pre-order it right now. It'll be at your house. March 8th is the pub day, guys, which means that's when it comes out. I'm so excited for you. And I have to say this, Danny, because I know it's so nerve-wracking to put something that you've put your heart and soul in out in the world, but you're proud of it. And I can see it in your face and I can feel it in your body. Like, you're so proud of it. And that's the most important thing. Like, you will have no regrets because it is so good. And you poured everything into it. And you really meet Danny in this book. And I know people know you for your very popular podcast, but I think this even shows a broader side of you. And it's so funny and touching and warm and smart. And you do feel like you're talking to a friend. And I think that's what people love about you, among many things, is that you are a good friend to people and they see themselves in you and they, and it's wonderful.
I'm gonna cry,
so
Danielle.
Excited.
Thank
well,
you so
it's
much.
True.
It means
so
the world. And I went to your very first live show, you and Casey, and just the fact that I even get to know you is just, it means the world to me. And the fact that you read it, just thank you.
I flew through it, Danny. Flew, guys. I didn't think I was going to finish it all this weekend, and I did.
Thank you.
So
thank
it's
you.
That much of a, and I have a child too. So maybe it means
well,
I was
you know,
ignoring
they come
her.
Second.
Yeah.
They come second.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
We need everyone to pick up the book though. Get the audio book if you want the audio or the hardcover. I like a hardcover book, but
me too.
And then I'm going on tour. So people, if you're, I am doing a little book tour. So there's still tickets available for New York, which I'll be next Tuesday on release day. I'll be in New York. And then also there's still tickets available for Chicago. You can go to my website, everythingiconic.com, or go to my social media.
Thank you so much for always coming on and just delivering the goods. You're always so great to have on because we know that you love this shit as much as we do. And you celebrate them, all these troubled women.
We love them.
The
we love them. And we didn't really touch on Miami because I know they're airing on the Peacock.
I love Miami. But
I know because it's on Peacock and so they're going to air it on Bravo. So people will catch it when it's on Bravo. But I just have to say it's so good. So I hope
so
people
good.
Like
guys,
just tune in. If you want something that feels like old school Housewife, it's like a throwback to like the earlier. Mm-hmm. There's kind of pettiness on some of these other franchises. We're getting a lot of heavy law, legal stuff.
Yeah, we're
stuff.
Getting true crime on the bigger franchise, but you know,
which
this
is great.
One, we're just getting not, you know, the crimes are just against, you know, each other's egos. And that's fun too.
Yeah. We're getting a rain soaked, a lesbian moment from Adriana.
Beautiful.
And I mean, it's like beautiful. There's great, gorgeous women and sights in Miami. And I just wanted to sing its praises because I find it so refreshing and a throwback and amazing. And so I want people to watch.
Me too. Thank you so much, Danny. And we
love
will
you.
See you very soon. Love you too.